been in a wonderful series about God taking you to your next level. And just say this with me, resurrected to your next level. The Bible is unique in that when you study it, it studies you. Have you found that out? The Bible is the only book that I know of that the author sits there with you when you're reading it. And when you invite him for help, he comes and begins to show you what he's speaking of. Kind of like when Philip grabbed a hold of the back of that chariot when the eunuch from Ethiopia was wondering what he was reading, and suddenly the Lord had sent someone to explain who Jesus was to him, and he received the Lord and was baptized on the spot because he had a hunger. And we're here because Jesus meets a hunger inside of the heart. There's a verse that affirms this thought. It's Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." Now get this. "Piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's what the Bible does. It studies you. It discerns between what's the woundedness of your soul and what's the life-giving part of your spirit. And today we're going to invite the Lord to do that. We're going to invite him to discern and show you areas and us areas where God will discern into and show you, here's the place in my soul that needs the help. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Bible calls us to a life of faith in God. Proverbs 3:5-6. Read this with me. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Then this sounds like a wonderful little Sunday school verse now, doesn't it? How many of you have tried to live this way? Does this challenge you down to the very socks of your walk with God? Because you and I have a tendency, because of the things that happened to us in the past, that we don't want them to happen again. And so we want to fix what's around us. We want to control what's around us. We are not too quick to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We'd rather trust in our maneuverings and trust in our ability. But the Lord says, if you're ever going to get better, he says, I'm going to be involved. Go ahead and elbow the person next to you. If you're going to get better, God's going to get involved. Isn't that right? Tell him, how's your plan worked out so far? You're going to round them out and come up, round them out. I want to do it my way. Round them out. Fourth husband, round them out. And fourth wife, round. You know, come on, man. It's an inside job. Bible warns us about our limited perspective, because there is a way, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And so when we come to understand that our way is not only futile, it ends in death, it creates loss, the things that we push for, the things that we're after, always end up because of a limited perspective that we have. How many of you have realized the world is going in a certain, running a certain agenda and running a certain perspective, and it's not unto life at all? It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring a sense of relief. The Lord is the one who releases us from the pressures of life. He's the one that is our refuge in time of trouble when we need help. He's the one who's good to us. He's the one that when you hang in with him, he starts to carry the lion's share of all your stuff. And you get to carry a little bit because you're trusting in him. And the devil's play on me and you is always to get us to think that God is the little one and our problem is the big one. How many of you have had to worship enough to get the problem down here and get God back up here? Have you learned that that's... Have you noticed that that's almost sometimes a daily thing? What happened from yesterday to today? I can't believe this. I was fine. And because the work of hell it works anxieties and works all kinds of things against us. But here's another promise. Bible promises that God makes all things beautiful. And there's two scriptures here. One of them is Ecclesiastes 3:11. The very first part of that verse says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Anybody had any devastating things happen to your life and God works out something beautiful out of the mess? The very next verse talks about that. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. That's a miracle, folks. That's a miracle. That's a miraculous thing. And God is the one who takes what's wrong and burned out in your life and mine and makes something beautiful out of it. I could never imagine you bringing me a pile of ashes and me creating something beautiful. But God takes what's burned out of the human soul and says, this is where I do my finest work. Because you're burned out on how you've tried to do it on your own strength. You can't do that anymore. And God says, I'm going to take over and I'm going to do in you what you could never have accomplished in yourself. Let's just ask for that kind of thing to happen today. Amen. The Lord wants to relieve you of some areas of stress and striving in your own soul. And there's reasons for those areas. Some of it you've done to yourself. Some of it somebody else did it. Some of it's just trauma. Things that have gone awry. I was talking to somebody recently and I said, where did it go off track for you? When was it all where everything fell apart? And they told me the day. There was trauma on that day. Something went wrong on that day. The train went off the tracks and they have struggled in trying to make life work ever since that event. You know what I'm saying? There are things like that that happen in our lives. Now, I want us to look at Lazarus's story when Lazarus died and was resurrected. And I don't want us to look at, because it's a model of a template that gives us some life-giving insight into both the person of Jesus and the process that Jesus walks people through. And it reveals some keys. So we'll go ahead and put the blank screen up here, and then we will go ahead and walk through the story just for a minute. With, by the way, I've entitled that Making Sense of Pain. How many of you like to make sense of some pain? And I believe that the Lord has breathed something into my heart. I was with the kids yesterday, and I've got my phone. I prepare a lot of messages looking at scriptures in my phone. Isn't that fun? Just like, and I saw this particular verse, and when I did, I began to weep. I'm sitting here going, I'm in the playground now. And I'm like, God, you're just showing me something. So we'll get that out in a minute. Let's look at this. If you have your Bible with you, or because I'm not putting all this on the screen, just a little bit later. But I want to walk through this with you. So just kind of lean in and let's pretend we're a storytelling time around the fireplace. Ready? Now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary that had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he had heard that he was sick. He stayed two more days when he heard this in the place where he was. And after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus said, well, are not there 12 hours in the day? And if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke about his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. And so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women
around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come, and he's calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, and saying, "She's going to the tomb to weep there." And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me." And now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." I want you to understand, number one, God understands our limited perspective. Even knowing the Lord, we don't see the fullness of all he's capable of in our lives. The verse there that says, when Jesus heard that he had said, heard that about him, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, I want us to look at the word illness for a moment in the Greek language. It opens up an understanding. It means feebleness of mind. Wow. How do you get feeble in your mind? You get a wound in your soul. You get hurt inside. Something painful happens to you, and you get weak. By implication, it's malady, morally weak. This is the original Greek word, frailty, to say that your mind is morally weak because of a wound, because of illness. And the Lord would come to you and say, "Your mind is not, it's not going to, it's, this is for the glory of God. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to cause what was rough on you to turn out for my glory," he's saying. And in the illness of soul, there's always a want of strength and necessary capacity. You feel like you're just not where you need to be because your soul has been hurt. How many of you, if you get a bruise on your arm or a bruise on your leg, you don't want to hit it again? Why? Because it feels like they're slamming it with a 2x4 all over again. Isn't it amazing when you get bruised and somebody touches the bruise? They're not hitting it again. They're just touching it. Yeah! And it hurts like you're going to hitting it again. And I want to just declare to you that the culture is full of bruised people. People wounded, wounded, wounded. Wounded, wounded. Souls wounded. Mind, will, and emotions wounded. Negative thoughts, agreements with negative things, all kinds of bad choices made because of the wounding, all kinds of things that are negative emotions, hurtful emotions, all kinds of stuff is going on because of wounding. And you're all agreeing with me, isn't that true? So as I was sitting there in a little playground, I noticed something. It's this next slide. It says, God's purpose for every wounding in our soul, every pain in our life, is to reveal the glory of his resurrection power. God's purpose for every wounding in your and my soul, every pain, he has a purpose with it, and it's to reveal his glory through Jesus Christ. God's purpose with your wounds is to reveal his glory. God's purpose with what hurt you when you open to his process and his way and his power is to cause it to become an epicenter where he shines forth and makes his beauty come out of ashes. And his resurrection power to rise up where you're broken the deepest and the worst. Let's praise him together. Amen. This is who we worship. This is who we know. This is the one who came and he saved you and he put his spirit and his life inside of you and your spirit has come alive and you've been made a new creature inside of your spirit. But your soul is not there yet. And your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions and you're still working through the struggle of, I've got stuff in my soul that's not right yet. And I believe there's a beautiful template here. The first things first, receive Jesus. Now, I want to just tell you, Jesus will heal anybody, anytime, anywhere who cries out to him, whether they know him or not. He proved that walking along. They could be outside of the faith of Israel, and he'd just heal them if they had faith to believe, right? The ultimate healing of all is that you know him because every sickness is healed in his presence and glory. Every wound, every hurt, this light affliction is nothing to be compared to the surpassing glory in his presence. Amen. Praise God. That's what Martha was talking about. She's saying, we know it's going to happen then, but I'm guaranteeing you that those who submit to the process, God says it happens now. That those wounded places, those dark places, those hurt places, those horrible places, Jesus comes to those places and speaks life. He speaks life into you. And he causes you to rise up out of the rubble of wounding. How many of you know that you've treated somebody a certain way because you were treated a certain way? And then he says, why am I like this? And the Lord says, let me show you why. I'll show you where the train went off track. And I'm going to heal where you went wounded. And when I heal the wounded and I bring my resurrection power into that, you're not going to act the same anymore. And instead of rejecting people like you were rejected, you start loving people. That's my testimony. And I can't help but stick with it. Because Jesus knows me inside and out. And he came to me in my tomb of misery. And he called my name. And I've come out of the woundedness of my own heart in so many ways. And that's the God who cares for you. And there's no partiality. He doesn't love me over him. You know, it's funny. God loves everybody the same. But you know what? The ones that end up with the favor on him are the ones that pursue him. The ones that pursue him and want him and say, you got the answers. Let me tell you, I did the kooky stuff. All through college, I read all those psychological books and all those self-help books. And I finally came to realize I can't help myself. It was just a waste of time. I needed Jesus. I needed something more. Show me how to get God up in this thing. I believe with all my heart that God's purpose for every wounding in our soul, every pain in our life, is to reveal the glory of his resurrection power. And I think you're happiest when that's occurring. And you have a testimony of light that comes shining through. And people say, how did you get through that? Jesus is glorified. And I'm no longer in the tomb of my loneliness. I'm no longer in the tomb of my emptiness. I'm no longer in the tomb of my addiction. I'm no longer in the tomb of my fornications. I'm no longer in the tomb of all the things that rip my soul apart. I'm out in the light, and Jesus is glorified. Where do the wounds of your soul come from? And there's two areas, trauma and sin. Trauma and sin. Sin, you know, people wound themselves, isn't that right? I could probably have testimonies come up here. Get in line. Okay, how did you wound yourself? And everybody go on for hours. Let me tell you what I did next. And then after that, I did this and that. And then you could say, how do you wound? How other people, you know, there's another way you get wounded is people sin against you. Oh, yeah, you, me, I did this and then they did this back and it just got deeper and deeper. And then we're all torn up. And people hurt people. Is that right? And traumatic events, things that nobody had anything to do with, just something like somebody dies in your life or some loss, some car wreck, something goes on and there's a big loss and there's suffering and there's the pain and the trauma of that, and that wounds the soul. And sometimes it just makes me want to take a baseball bat and say, come here, buddy, and just kind of, whenever I hear a man of God say to a little boy at a funeral, God gives and God takes away, I want to take that man out I want to do something to him. Because that little boy doesn't need to have a God to be taught that God's cruel and God's mean and God took your daddy. It's not right. It's just wrong. Because then that decision goes down and that bitter root goes in and this kid comes up like, I don't really trust God. He took my daddy. And I've talked to people on the street like that. Well, God took my daddy. I'm going, no, he didn't. If I can talk to you, talk some sense into you, he didn't do that. God's not the thief. God's not the one robbing your life. There's another a thief around here. He's invisible and he's of darkness and he wants to destroy you and kill you and take everything from you. And once you get your head straightened out over that, you realize Jesus is here to help me, not to destroy me. It's the confusion that people have that keeps them in darkness and keeps them blind and keeps them walking in the confusion of their, I'm going to fight you, God, because you did this to me. What a foolish waste of time. Amen. Jesus died on the cross. Well, how do you reconcile that attitude with this when he gave everything for you? And here's, this may sound silly, but death is when something or someone quits living. Is it right? And something in your heart may have quit living. There may have been a hope that just died. And it gave up the ghost. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about Jesus coming to the place that died in you. And the thing that you gave up on, that's where he's coming. That's the tomb he's going to visit today. The place where you said, it's over. God says, it's not over till I say. And in Christ Jesus, it's always his purpose to take the wound and reveal his glory. He will take the wound and reveal his glory. So where have you been wounded? What has wounded you? Have you wounded yourself? Have you been wounded by someone? Have you been wounded by a traumatic event? Sometimes it's a combination of all three. Where are you wounded? What has wounded you? Have you wounded yourself? Have you been wounded by someone? Have you been wounded by a traumatic event? So let's look at the next process here. Jesus enters into feeling and grieving our loss with us. This is a beautiful trait about Jesus Christ. He doesn't just show up like Superman, da 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 da, you're healed. Look at me, I got my glory, you know, get on your way. That's not God. Now this is Jesus. Look at this next verse. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. I want to guarantee that whenever you're going through, when you're coming through the process of God resurrecting something that died inside of you, Jesus comes and feels and grieves the loss that you have in your heart. He goes the distance with you in your pain and says, I understand and I feel it. And he groans with us and he carries that sense of pain in his own heart because you're made in his image and he cares about all the things that have gone awry in your life. God is good. Jesus cares. How many of you know him that when you're around him, suddenly you feel deeper for people than you did before? Amen. Because you matter, and the Lord makes it where everybody matters. Amen. Isn't that true? Amen. I love this verse. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord cherishes us. And we are, unfortunately, many of us and all of us as dumb as sheep. Isn't that right? He pours his, number three, he pours his resurrection power into raising us up. He pours his resurrection power into raising us up. Now here's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to talk about that just for a minute and then I want to lead us in a prayer. Does that sound good? And then when we lead in the prayer, I want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to touch your life. And we're going to have time of ministry up front here. And we just invite Jesus to touch things. It might be a big deal. It might be a little deal. But, you know, I always, because I see this thing and I realize the Lord's given me a sense of insight and revelation into understanding that he wants to take what went wrong. And I believe this is for everybody today. There's something that went wrong and God says, I'm going to reveal my glory in it. I'm going to help you. And there's a process for that. And Jesus went to the tomb. He shows up personally in front of the place where the death is hanging out. He comes to what died inside of your soul. That's what Jesus does. He comes right to the place, feeling the pain with you, feeling the loss with you. He comes right to your heart, that corner of your heart that quit living when something bad happened. He comes to that spot. That's who he is. He understands the depth of loss. He understands what hurt so bad that you quit feeling. You had to quit feeling because it was overwhelming. You had to go numb because it was too hard to handle. You had to shut down being able to even feel because numbness was safer than the pain of death. But Jesus comes to that place where you buried it, where you put a big stone in front of it and said, I'll never go back, where it stinks in there. And if anybody opens it up, you'll know all the junk in my soul. That's where Jesus comes. He comes to the place where everything stinks, where everything's dead, where everything's ruined. He says, my purpose is that glory happen where you've been dead. And you and I get to hear him say, I don't think there's anything like Jesus saying your name. When Jesus says your name, you know he's talking to you. Because Jesus knows you. And he's going to call you to come out of something that you've been in. We allow him to lead you up out of it. Let's praise him just for a minute. This is... He's good. He's good. He's good. Would you pray with me? Could you do that? I want to lead this as a long prayer. I want to tell you what the prayer is. The first side of the prayer has to do with the blood of Jesus. The second side of the prayer has to do with the resurrection power of Jesus. The first side of the prayer has to do with the crucifixion and what Jesus made available for us through him dying and him shedding his blood. The second part of the prayer has to do with his resurrection and how he raises you up out of the pains. The first part of the prayer has to do with removing legal rights and the things that you've done wrong and how the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes you. The second part of the prayer has to do with now the healing power of Jesus coming into the place where you had died. Are you there? So let's take our time and let's do this meaningfully. Lord Jesus, I repent. And I want you to say this with your heart, with meaning from your own heart. You don't have to yell it out, but I do want to ask you to move your lips and let your heart engage. Would you do that? Could I ask everybody to do that? I repent for everything that I have done that has brought death to me. I repent of every sin I have committed. I now receive your blood to wash away every sin from my soul. Leviticus 17:11 says, the blood atones for my soul. Right now, the blood is washing away the sin in my soul. In Jesus' name. Let's receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I repent for thinking wrong thoughts in my mind. For making wrong decisions with my will. And coming into agreement with negative, hurtful, painful emotions that were coming from my soul. I repent for any part of my soul that used to sin. I plead the blood over these sins right now. I break my agreement with every thought that is not of you, Lord. Every imagination that is not of you. Every reasoning that is not of you. Every bad choice that is not of you. Every negative emotion that is not of you. I don't receive them anymore. In the name of Jesus, I saturate my soul with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I forgive all who have sinned against me, those I know of and those I don't know of. You have paid their debt, and I forgive them as you have forgiven me. I went down in death in Christ, and now I come up with Christ in his resurrection. Can I invite you to stand with me? Let's go ahead and stand now. I'll lead you in the second part of the prayer. Lord Jesus, fill my soul with the power of the resurrection that makes me whole and makes my soul excellent. Just put your heart out there. Lift your hands. I receive the healing of every wound in my soul that was controlling my mind, that was controlling my will, that was controlling my emotions. I receive it now. Fill me up with your resurrection power that gives me excellence of soul. I pray like Paul prayed, that I would be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power, mighty power, mighty power in my inner man. My soul is being strengthened and reinforced with the mighty resurrection power. I have it because of your resurrection. Fill me now, Lord. Fill me now, Lord. Fill me now, Lord. Heal these wounds. Lord, I decree that all painful, agonizing, negative, threatening emotions are being healed right now. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your mighty resurrection power that is healing me right now. And I am being made excellent of soul by your mighty power. I decree that I am excellent of soul according to the mighty resurrection power. I believe it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you died for the wounds of my soul and that you see me being completely excellent in my soul. Lord, I agree with you that you get everything that you paid for with the blood and now with the resurrection power within me. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah.